Channel 2 Oval, beginning of the visit with Little Bessie this Monday afternoon late, and at supper this the 12th of November, 73. Channel 2 Oval, beginning the visit with Little Bessie this Monday, the 12th of November, 73. Channel 2 Oval, and beginning the visit with Little Bessie this Monday at supper, the 12th of November, 73. Channel 2 Oval, beginning the visit with Little Bessie this Monday at supper, the 12th of November, 73.
She's on the way. I mean, she said she's coming right on.
You know, he had four under his arm
time.
And they were the size of an egg.
Oh, don't tell me.
And in 2 weeks, another one came there.
Goodness.
And I hear the other day, he said to me, he said, "You know, Bessie, I believe another one of them devilish things was coming under, is coming under this arm." Well, I never heard him say anything else about it. And sure enough, and yesterday, when I got back from church, he's gone somewhere. So when he came, I was going to come back to church last night.
Yeah.
I was just almost ready to walk out. And then he said, "Bessie, look at this thing." And that it gave me cold chills. I had never seen anything like it.
You mean it's real boil?
And so he went to the VA. I've been after him. He want to go to the emergency room. I said, "No, why go to the emergency room when you can go to the VA hospital?" Mm-hmm. And I called this morning, but he hadn't come back. And then I called later this afternoon. And he said, he got home about 12. And the man told him not to use, he said, "It must be the deodorant."
Uh-huh.
I said, "Well, you've been using Ariat all the time." But then he had bought some of this Ariat, the spray-on. And then I bought the extra dry spray. Well, he want to put it on the extra dry. He done forgot that he bought this other. I said, "Well, Tom, you've been using Ariat all the time." He said, "Yeah, but he told me don't use any." I said, "Well, your skin could be sensitive to it." Because I know a girl used some Lucky Heart once, and she had these big things come on her arm, and it made her so sick she had to go to the hospital.
Oh, really?
So to say this doctor told him, say, "Don't use any deodorant." And he'd been putting carbolated Vaseline on him, and he told him, "Don't put that on there, just use some warm salt water." So he said, "Just wash a little often if you think you're going to start to smell it." Let me call Tom then, Mr. Brown, please.
Got a brand new phone there.
I thought the phone was up on the wall when I was here before.
No, it's sitting down there, but it's brand new. The old one just
played out on
played
you,
out.
Huh?
Just sit down there and make that noise. Sit down there, you and make that noise.
If he is lying down, he might be outside.
He's outside, yeah.
Three. Four. Five.
Hey, who?
Six.
I count them. I always count them.
Eight. Now he's outside or somewhere. No, I'm gonna go home, Mr. Miles, and because I have to fix a little bite to eat.
Well,
I had some collard greens. I should have taken them down this morning, put them in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Yeah, frozen.
I remember juice while you're sitting there.
Oh.
It'll help your disposition, as they used to say.
Something like I got a pretty bad disposition.
You remember that old saying, it'll help your disposition. I think of all them old sayings we used to have. I don't hear anymore.
That sounds like somebody. Well, you know, I'm an orange juice drinker.
Oh, I know you are. You use that,
Aster.
Aster.
That concentrated.
Yes, you'd rather have that than the...
Well, I like it better than I do the stillborn, you know, from that. Because when you add a can of water to it, you know, to each... It's three cans of water to a can of juice.
Yeah.
So I mix it half a gallon all the time.
Yeah. Well, that way you can just open your refrigerator and
at night, if I feel like I'm getting hungry, I'll go in and get me a glass of orange juice and then I'll go to bed.
Well, I'll tell you, that's, I think about these bad habits people have. They want to nibble all the time and they drink soda pop and all like that. Why don't they drink orange juice?
Well, I've been laying off of the juices, sodas. In fact, I had stopped drinking sodas altogether, and I mostly, when I drink it, 7-Up. I drink 7-Up, and I had a lot of sodas left for my Bessie, you know, when she passed. A lot of people brought sodas.
Oh, yeah.
And I just drank so much of sodas and Coca-Colas, and I have, you know, had stopped drinking Cokes.
Oh, that's right. You all would sit down there and drink a soda pop. It was hot.
Debbie would always go get Miss Daisy a Coke and get me one and get her one.
Oh, yeah.
And then she'd always get Miss Daisy these little potato chips or something.
Yeah.
So one day I was in town, I bought Miss Daisy some chopped meat, I think. Very nice, lean chopped meat. And bought her a big bag, bought her a bag of grits. And a big bag of potato chips. I don't know. Did I? What else? I got something else. I don't know what it was. But she was so tickled and so happy to get it. So she said, "Bessie, let me get you some money." I said, "You didn't ask me to bring you this." I said, "I'm giving it to you. I brought it to you." And because it hadn't been too long, I think, since she had lost a check or something. And I asked her several times, "Did she ever get it?" She said, "No." Say something come to her and told her, "Say you're not looking the right place." And say she said, "Pray tell me where is the right place."
Now what's that?
Just say it while she was looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the mind came and say you're not looking the right place.
Yeah.
'Cause I had told her maybe you put it somewhere different from where you'd been putting it, and you just can't remember.
You know.
She said, "Bessie, I have looked in every corner of this house."
Well, you know, you can look in every corner and still not find things if you put them up too well.
'Cause I swore the other day, I said, "Now I'm supposed to have two $20 bills somewhere." And where I looked, I said, "No, I didn't put it there." I said, "But I'm supposed to have $40. I said, two $20 bills. You know, I'm talking to myself. So I went out in the front, and I sat out there for a few minutes. And that money still stayed on my mind. And I got up and I went and I got my bag, my purse. And then I look, I had hid it in there.
Oh, you found it.
I found it. See, it come to me and say, now you look, see. I said, now I know I didn't put it in there with the other money I had. I said, now I just had even money. I said, now I had $40 in there. And when I put up some more money, I put it with that. So that meant I had even money there. I said, I'm supposed to have two $20 bills somewhere here in this room. So I found it.
I tell you, if I wanted to just lose something for good, is just let me put it up where I can find it. That's the worst thing. Where, you know, it's got so I've got to leave it out sort of where I can see it, or else I can't. I'll lose it. Now that happens again and again.
I don't know, you know, I hate to lose money, Mr. Miles, because it looks like you're callous.
Yeah.
Now, I can sit down and figure, now when I go up, I'm going to the store. Well, when I have to have my prescriptions refilled, I almost cry. If I have to have all three of them at one time.
Yeah.
Because it cost me $19.75.
Good Lord.
Yeah. $19.75. I get one lousy quarter out of $20. So I always try to get, or maybe I'll get $9.25, get two of them filled, which would be $9.25. Other than that, I just get the one, $10.50. I try to divide it up where it won't hurt so bad. But I'll sit down and I try to figure, now, where did such a thing go? What did I do with that? And if I sit there long, it'll come to me. I'll say, now, I know just what I got. Boy, I can keep up with a penny. I wish I had had the sense when I was, 18 years old as I got now to buy money.
Do you reckon, don't you know, you were saying that Miss Bessie had money and then it disappeared. Do you suppose she just put some of that up?
Mm-mm. Aunt Bessie, see, she trusts other people rather than trust me.
Oh, yes, 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 I know how that is. Yeah.
And I do know I had her, when she's in the hospital, she got a welfare check, I think it was, and she told me to go to Mr. Denny's and pay him. She said, I think it's $20. So he'll know, you know, how to cash and what to do. I said, all right. And I went there, and he said, no, Bess. He said, she don't owe me $20. It's $14 and change. All right, well, I put that change away, and I went back. I told her. I said, now, you didn't owe Mr. Denny $20. I said, no, it was $14 and something. And I said, I put it away. I put it up for you. Boy, she gave me a dirty look. Because I didn't bring it back and give it to her.
Oh, really?
So,
she did.
Then, when I brought her home, down to my house. All this now was before I brought her to my house that I paid Mr. Denny. Well, see, and I cleared that bill up. That was all she owed him. But do you know when she died, Mr. Denny died, too. She owed him $8.86 now. She left my house the week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
She got the drop on me. Because she told me one day, because I kept telling her, Bessie, don't try to do too much walking around. I said, I'm afraid you'll fall, and I'm outside hanging out clothes. You know, I said, you be in here by yourself. Well, Tom went and bought a little bell and put on the table by the bed if she wanted anything for her to ring it. So now she looked at me, and she saw me when I was over to the long line hanging out clothes. And then when I went to the machine and got another load, and I was over there to the other line, and I was hanging out clothes, I didn't see her. So when I went in, she said, I saw you. I said, you got up and went to that window, didn't you? She said, yeah. She said, you was over there in that line. Well, now, she must have gotten that pocketbook. See, she kept on until she either got in the chair, because she was too short, and I can't reach to the back of that closet, that shelf myself. I got a tiptoe, or I have a long shoehorn, or get something long to pull if it's way in the back, you know, pull it to me. Or get the step stool and stand up on it. And Bessie either stood in the chair. She had to stand in the chair because the hassock wouldn't have made her high enough. And she got her pocketbook. And I had $287 in there, belongs to her.
That's a lot of money.
I had, you know, put her money away. I said, I'm not charging you one brown penny, Aunt Bessie. I said, the only thing, but when you want these jumbo shrimps and red snapper, I said, you know, that's very high. I said, then you don't have to touch the money that I have. And I told her how much I had. Because people would come in and would give her money. And I had $26 in a little change purse. I said, now I'll pay your insurance out of this. And if you feel like you want them jumbo shrimps, which cost you $4 and something a pound, I say, I'm going to let you pay for them. I said, put all of your other food and your sleeping and me doing for you. You don't have to worry about that. But she got that pocketbook with them $287 in there. And Mr. Miles, I never seen a penny since. So, Isaiah came down one Sunday morning, and I heard she was trying to make him take some money. And he said, Miss Bessie, I don't need your money. I don't want your money. Say, I can take care of the light bill. Say, I don't need your money. So she had the pocketbook out, see. I hadn't seen it back at the bed rest that Miss Miles gave her. She calls herself hiding it. And I had seen it. But I didn't look in it to see how much money was in it. So I walked to the door. I said, well, what do you want now, Aunt Bessie? I said, you don't need a thing. Nothing. That's just the way she said it. Nothing. So, see, she didn't know. See, by her being a little hard of hearing, and Isaiah was talking loud, is how come I to hear it? Because I was in the kitchen. So he said, I'm not taking your money. I don't want it. I can pay the light bill. Well, I want to pay the light bill. She didn't want him to pay the light bill. He said, I'm staying there, and I can pay it. But then Buddy came down there, brought a check. I got the last check I cashed for her. Let me see, the drugstore cashed one, and Leslie cashed one. That is the last one of her Social Security. I said, I'm Bessie. I'm trying to save your money. And when you go home, I said, when you're strong enough and you go home, I said, you won't have to want for anything. You'll be able to get it. She said, yes. She said, my check will take care of me. I said, yes, you can live off of your check. I said, now, when I go to town and I can get things more reasonable in town than you can out here. I said, instead of getting things on credit, I said, you know, I can take the money and get it in town. Well, she's saving money. I have it. But Buddy came, he came there one morning and brought the check. She wouldn't let me touch it. She told Buddy, she had me then to offset it, and told Buddy to go cash it. And she sat on the porch until Buddy came back. I didn't think nobody do that but me. Jumped in his ring.
It's loud, ain't it? So? No, she hasn't got here yet. Mm-hmm.
It's 5:30 now.
Well, now that's too bad that you can't just hear everything. I say you ought to be able to hear everything. Yeah. I sure, well, I'm sorry she's not here. Well, all right, I'll tell her. Thank you for calling, Will.
Look, the downtown, call Tom while you're sitting there. And tell him I'm up here. I'll be home after a bit.
Let me see.
1787. 591.
There's too many of these numbers. I'll tell you.
Sometime I go to call my cousin and dial my own number. Because her number is 68.
Yeah.
You know, 1768.
That's 2, 3. Well, I'll tell you. I'm no little experience with members of my family when I was growing up. And when they got old, they seemed like they just misplaced money and they were cranky about it and all like that, you know. So.
Yeah, who is that, Rascal?
Well, hello. All right, this is Guy Miles. Yes.
your good wife is sitting here in the kitchen, and she says she's coming home one of these days. Well, I told her that we were going to have a little bite to eat here pretty soon. But I think she doubts it. She thinks it's safer down in her house. Are you out watering? Yeah. What do you do? Put out some sod? Yeah. Well, that ought to help it. How your little evergreens doing that you've got a garden? Well, what do you know? Well, you're lucky. Well, that's fine. All right. All right. Oh, in some ways, it's sort of sad to get old. You're actually cranky when you don't feel good and your memory is not good. And
but you see,
one thing or another.
You see, when she stopped me and started letting Bertie cash her checks. And she said to me one day, I think I should give Buddy a little something. I said, what do you mean, give Buddy something? Well, he brings my checks down here. He go and get them and bring them down here. I said, it wouldn't cost me but a little bit of gas to go up to making over to the post office.
Yeah.
I said, if you got to pay Buddy. I said, I don't see why you should have to pay Buddy as much as you do for them.
Yeah.
I said, and what you have done, done for them. I said, he should be willing to bring it and
yeah.
with a smile.
Yeah.
Well, I think I should give him something. Well, Buddy and the girl that got burned out around there, his cousin, was there at 10 o'clock one morning. They were there again early one morning. I said, now, she's sneaking him money.
Yeah.
And one day, I was in the living room and had started into the bathroom where she had a back turn to the door. And she said, my little money's just about gone. See, well, now she done give it away. She didn't give it away.
All that money.
So I didn't even let her know that I heard her.
Yeah.
So I said to her, I said, Bessie, when she got ready to come home. She said, yes. I said, do you owe Mr. Thrasher anything? She said, no. I said, are you sure? She said, yes. She said, I don't owe him. Said, because I haven't even gotten, if I owed him, he would, you know, would write me and tell me about it. I said, all right. I said, now you have money and you can pay him while you have it. I said, and when you go home, you won't have these debts hanging over you. And come to find out, here Mr. Thrasher done put my name down there at Bessie Tomlin.
Yes.
That
how'd that happen?
He was sure he wanted to get his money, but I didn't pay him. I didn't pay him the first brown penny. When
well, you know whether you told him or not.
I didn't tell him. He said he told Leslie. He asked Leslie. See, he knew I was Bessie. He knew that was my aunt. And he asked Leslie, what was my last name?
Yeah.
And Leslie told him. So he said, well, Cousin Bess is in the home now. He said, I know it. He said, but she told me if anything happened to her, little Bessie would take care of it, her bill. I said, that's one lie, Mr. Thrasher told. And I said, Aunt Bessie, too, if she told him. I said, because I didn't tell her anything.
Oh.
See? And when I went to the home, I was so mad, I didn't know what to do. And I went up there that Saturday. I said, Aunt Bessie? She said, yes. I said, thought you told me you didn't know Mr. Thrasher anything. I don't know him. I said, well, he asked Leslie what was my last name. And said, you told him if anything happened to you, I would pay it.
Oh, you told her that?
Yes, I told her. She was up in the home then.
Oh, yes.
I said, I didn't tell you that I'd pay Mr. Thrasher anything. I didn't tell him that. I said, well, where did he get it from? I said, I'm sorry. I will not pay it. I didn't make it, and I won't pay it. I said, I didn't eat it. I said, because you had no business of having no kind of bills, my Bessie. I said, I asked you, and I had saved your money. I said, but still, Buddy and those was more capable of taking care of your money than I was. I said, you didn't trust me enough. So, just tear it up and throw it in the garbage. I said, that I am going to do. So I left the home and come right on by the store. Well, his daughter said he was out with the flu. I said, well, look, my Bessie has a bill here. And Mr. Thrasher told Leslie that I would pay it. I said, but I didn't tell her I'd pay it. I said, I didn't make it. I didn't eat it. And I didn't tell her that I would pay her bill. And I didn't tell Mr. Thrasher I'd pay it. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not paying it.
Well, good afternoon.
Hello, Smiles, how are you? Boy, you flew home.
It doesn't take her any time, does it?
No.
Well, I just posted along with everybody else going 50 miles an hour.
Well, that's all you're supposed to go now, is 50.
I never thought people would do it.
I never thought so either.
But some of them, they tell me one or two counties say they weren't going to go by it.
But
when they get through making them pay that heavy fine, they'll go. They'll abide by it.
Everybody, I was on the road tonight was 50.
Is that right?
I was so thrilled.
And just to think, well, there's so many people running around you.
Yeah.
Miss Miles?
Yeah.
Don't you go to work and go to cooking anything
I'm
for me.
I'm not going to do a thing except what I was going to do anyway. So you just sat right there.
I just came. Well, your hand's cold.
Sure.
What's that with the time? Do I have a sweater? Yeah, I think I would just put it in the car. Now, so that it got when she got sick, see, she didn't ever want Isaiah to come and tell me or Nettie when she got sick.
Oh, didn't she?
And I told Isaiah, I said, Isaiah, I said, now I'm telling you, right before Bessie Jackson, you know, she's sitting in the chair over there. I said, now she don't want you to let us know when she's sick. I say, but now you let me or Nettie know. I said, because if anything should happen, we would feel bad towards you. If you're here in the house and she's sick. And I said, she could pass out. I said, now you see, I'd feel bad that you didn't come and tell me. He said, that is right. And then from then on, if she grunt, he would come down there.
Yeah.
Yes. See, after I told him, he said, Bessie, I had never thought of it. Miss Miles, why don't you sit down?
Well, you just go right ahead and chat, because this is what I do every time, any guy.
Yeah.
I come in. And I'll whirl around two or three times, and first thing you know, you're going to have some food sitting
there. I'm going home to that
you
man.
You sit right there.
So, I said to Nettie called me. She said, B? I said, yes. She said, Isaiah just left here. I said, all my lands, what's wrong? He said, Bessie is very sick, he said. And I know you was working. See, I was on the job. He went to my house first, and Tom said, well, Isaiah said, I think, he said, Bess is working, excuse me, tonight, because she always work on Friday night, and said that I think a woman should go, should be there. Said, go get Nettie, and he did. So Nettie, she said, Leslie and I are fixing to go up and see about the old lady, see what's wrong. I said, all right, and I said, Nettie, I said, she said, Isaiah seems to think she need to go to the hospital, so she's very sick. So I said, you ask her if she have any money in the house. Oh, and where is it? She said, okay. So she said, I'll call you when I come back from the hospital to let you know what, if they kept her, or, you know, if I could bring her back home. But she was so sick, Nettie said she didn't think she was going to make it, because she got went in there and, you know, got her clean gown and, you know, washed up and everything and got her out. And Leslie, she said, Leslie went on to the hospital. So he wasn't long getting there. She said, B said they put her on the auction and they had to keep her. And I said, well, did you ask her about her money? And I had told her, and I had just signed that Saturday, like, just like this past Saturday. And she had, they took her this coming Friday. I had just signed her Social Security check, $103. And her daughter-in-law's sister had sent her $10 for Christmas. And then the welfare was $18. Now, so that was between 5:30 and 6 o'clock that I signed the check. And if I'm not mistaken, that's $131. And Mr. Miles, Nettie said, when she called me at 12 o'clock. I was still on the job. Because look, I said, my Lord, I said, wonder what happened. I said, look like she ain't going to call. I wonder if she thinks it's too late for her to call. And then finally the telephone rang. And she said, B? I said, yes. She said, we just got back. And she told me all about they had to keep her. And that she stayed until they got her in bed and everything, had her on this auction. And she said, I asked about her money. And so she told her all she had was right there in her pocketbook. And then she said, Leslie, looking, because I told her, I said, now, I had her money in a white envelope, and I put it in the Social Security envelope. And I had a little white sack. I don't know where I got that sack. Maybe Mr. Mertz somewhere. And I put it in that sack. So Nettie looked, she said, B? Leslie counted it. I could hear him. He said, Nettie is $37.15 here. And Nettie said, what you say, Leslie? See, I told Nettie how much these checks came to. And Nettie knew how much that I had was keeping for her. I said, because I can never tell what's going to happen. I said, something could happen to me. I said, and she doesn't have anybody but you and I. But when she said she had $37.15, I said, uh-uh. I said, that can't be true. And you know she didn't sleep that night, Nettie didn't? Because she said it stayed on her mind and worried her. So what did Ambassador do with that money from Saturday? Now, I signed it between 5:30 and 6 o'clock. And when I went up there, I looked at her. I said, Ambassador, I said, where is your money? It's there in the house. I said, where about in the house? If I tell you, you know as much about my business as I do. Yes, ma'am. That's just what she told me.
She could crack the whip when she wanted to.
Oh, boy, she used to crack it. I told him I held my head on many a days and almost cried. I said, but I stuck with her.
You mean she used to?
Oh, when I brought Aunt Bessie from the home over there,
nobody knows
what I went through with.
Now, let me tell you something. Let me ask you something. I've got ground meat, I've got ham, and I've got pork chops. Now look, I'm gonna put something in front of you. But what can't you eat?
Can you eat ham?
No.
It ain't nothing I can't eat.
Okay.
Now, Miss Miles, please, ma'am.
Because I've got these things. We just didn't have one as another.
I told Mr. Easiest? Ma, I should have went on
Hush.
Home.
Well, what would be the easiest on you? Because I'm going
to let her do what she wants to.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what would be the easiest for you to eat? Does it matter?
It doesn't anything hurt me.
I thought you were on some sort of diet.
Oh, I'm just trying to lose. Well, they say salt free. I don't eat that much salt.
Okay.
You see, I mean, you know. And sometimes I think my pressure down, so I started taking
while she was healthy and all like that, she was never like this then, was she?
Oh, towards me she was.
Always was?
And Bessie she was mad with me even from when my uncle died. She thought he had a lot of money and I got it. Her son wrote her that lie. He wrote a big lie, said my uncle had $2,500 in the bank and had a $1,000 policy made to me. He did have a $1,000 policy made to me, but the company dropped the policy on all of the employees. Everybody that worked at that racetrack, the company dropped that policy. And God is sitting on his throne. No, this is the truth. I didn't get one brown penny.
See where?
Now, when I went to, I had to make 2 trips to New York. Nobody gave me any money, but my sister sent me $25 when I got into New York, because I was supposed to go home for Easter, and Easter I was sitting up in New York. I called her from New York. She said, Bessie, what in the world are you doing in New York? You were supposed to be. I thought you was coming home for Easter, and I told her. And I got back here the 4th of April. And my cousin died in Philadelphia the 8th of April. And I wanted to go back with her. So bad. I went to go to Philadelphia to Lucy, your funeral. But I said no. In the 6th of May, I just managed to get on the train. Gus had passed, my uncle. See, and I had to go right back to New York. And nobody gave me a dime. But my mother and sister.
That's all
I had.
Yeah, it costs money to have anything happen in your family, don't it?
That's right. And all of it has fallen on me. Now, I paid Chestnut $562.31. Would have had the whole $941 in change to pay if it hadn't been for the Social Security. And this devilish little pallbearer. I told Lloyd, I said, well, y'all don't need to try to have no pallbearer. You can't pay. When everybody usually get $150, here come a check for $125 front desk. So I had to put the other $25 there.
But they did come up with something.
2 months and 7 days after she was gone, and they supposed to give it to you the day that the services.
Yeah.
I told him just what I thought about him, so I guess he's glad to get it and get rid of me.
Sometimes you have to do that.
And so Sonny signed his insurance over to me. He said, Cousin Bessie, I didn't know all of this was on you. He said, you've had an awful lot. He said, I just thought it was like Mom, like his mother. Because Brittany's been sick for a long time, just say, but she was able to get around, but now she's almost blind. And he said he just thought Aunt Bessie was just like his mother, you know, just complaining. Be real sick today and tomorrow she'd be up.
Yeah, I heard him say that.
Mm-hmm. And it broke my heart when he sat in that hospital when Dr. Craig would talk to him in the hall and told him, he said, it's just a matter of time. He said it could be in 2 minutes. He said it could be 2 hours. He said it could be 2 weeks. He said, but she's leaving fast. That she won't be with us much longer. Now that's why they dismissed her from the hospital, because there wasn't much, anything they could do.
And she did go down so fast.
She wouldn't eat, Mr. Miles.
And she didn't take those pills.
That's right. She wouldn't take a medicine and she wouldn't eat. And do you know, when Ned and I was cleaning up, I found a shoebox of the same pills that she was having her prescription fill. It was the same one that they were giving them in the hospital. I found a shoebox of pills.
She just emptied them in that shoebox.
No, just put the bottles in there. Just throw the bottles in there and forget. Only thing she kept out was the heart pills.
No. And just throw the rest of them in there,
yeah,
and let it go. Well, you know, it's
so I told them, I went home a couple of times and almost in tears. And I sat down over there. And the way she talked, sometimes I said, I'm Bessie. I said, you don't have a soul in the world but me. I said, Nettie is a cousin. I said, she's your second cousin. I said, you know, Mama can't come. I said, Sister cannot leave Mama. And Stubbs, both of them sick. I said, she has her hands full. And I said, now, I don't like the way you talk to me. I said, now, I can go home. So I wouldn't say anything. I knew I wasn't going. But I had to tell her.
Yeah.
So I just went on. I wouldn't say anything. And so finally, she started talking real nice and saying,
oh, please. Did she?
Yep, she come down.
Yeah.
But boy, she was a pistol.
Yeah.
But I loved her.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, it's nothing that I wouldn't do for you. I said, now, only thing I can do now is what they would have done in the hospital is to keep you clean and give you your medicine,
yeah,
if you take it. I said, and you won't eat. I even bought baby food and all.
Well, you see, we had some of the best times I ever had since I moved down here. It was right down there at Miss Bess's. You see, when you'd come, or Nettie,
mm-hmm,
or somebody like that, and Bessie, you see, she'd just sit back and look like she felt proud, you know, and just listen to you.
Well, then she got to the place she didn't want me out of her sight.
Oh, really?
She didn't want me to go home for nothing. I said, well, I have to wash. And I can't wash her pick because she don't have no way to wash. I said, now, I have to do these things. And I said, Miss Davis, stay with you, you know, until
yeah.
I wash the things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she didn't want me to go to church.
Oh, I know.
She didn't want me out of her sight. So Nettie told her one day, you know, I think, I don't know if it was the same day that you were there or not, but Nettie used to come up. And she said, B, you got to go home. She said, you want to go get a bath? She said, you're going on home. I'll be here. And then she said, Aunt Bessie would just fuss. And say, she told her, say, now, Cousin Bess, say, you expecting too much out of B. Say, you're relying on her. Say, she have to go see about her house sometime. And she have to take a bath. Now, the only way... I told her, I said, all that paper have to come down in that bathroom before I get in there. I said, because if I look up and something's head or tail sticking out there, I said, that'll be all I need. And I'd have to heat the water and carry it in there. I said, you know, I can't lift a big container with water in it. I said, I'll give way in my knee when I lift anything too heavy. But as long as I was there, she was happy.
That's right.
One thing about it.
Well, I did all I could, and I'm satisfied.
After she got back from the hospital, she wasn't going to leave this place here. And I never quite understood that.
Well, Dr. Craig O'Say told me the best thing I ever did was to bring her from that home. Because he was kidding, you know, that Friday night when we took her up there.
Yeah.
He said, I shouldn't have let her left that home in the first place. I don't think you took good care of her.
Huh.
So I said, oh, you got to be kidding. So Debbie said then, said, Bessie, he just joking. I said, you got to be. What's the matter with you doing wrapping up in all these towels and things? You cold?
I just felt a little like...
Boy, I thought you was a Yankee.
I had a jacket somewhere. I don't know where I left
it. He found.
I just leave things all around the yard. I run into them. But she wasn't gonna leave this place here.
She didn't mean to go to my house. I told her. I said, I'm best. It's more convenient. If you're down to the house.
The whole thing was more convenient.
I said, you're right at the bathroom, and I can be right there and take care of you and take care of the house and wash. I said, because a lot of times I have to wash every day. Twice a day.
Come in there.
I don't want to go down there. I want to stay home. I said, all right. You want to stay home.
Well, she didn't
even
want to go down for just a little while.
Well, for one thing, there, you know, for a while after she got here, you know, Evan, she'd sit out on that porch as much.
You know,
as she
when she first came home from the home, she was doing fine.
Yeah.
Miss Miles, you know, you used to say, oh, Miss Bessie is getting along all right. You can go home. You should be able to go home and stay. But when I talk about going home at night, she'd have a fit. She would get up and come in. I want to sit to keep her from walking too far. I see you sit there to the table right there in the front in the dining room and not try to go in the kitchen. But she'd rather go and sit in that kitchen.
Yeah.
And she'd go to the bathroom, and, you know, she just was doing so fine. And one day, she stayed in there so long, and I said, I guess she's staying in the bathroom a mighty long time. So when I started out, you see, but she had made it out the bathroom and sat in that old chair on the porch. That's as far as she could make it. That's when she began to go back. And I said, what you give out? I said, you're tired. She said, yeah, I couldn't make it no further. I said, why didn't you call me? And she said, I'm all right, I'll get up. I said, no, come on. I said, you know, let me get up now. So I helped her, then looked like she could hardly move her feet. So see, she didn't have but one blackout spell, and it wasn't bad. Because when I first started to stand, I said, well, if I got to stay up here and sleep, I said, because I'm tired of my legs getting caught in that couch out there. I said, I'm going to have a crutch if I keep sleeping on that couch.
Betsy, I don't know how you did it.
Now, everybody down there where you work now, everybody's healthy?
Yeah, everybody's fine. But I got some bad kids down there. Oh boy, I had to whip Gina and Eric Friday. I told her this morning. She said, well, I'm glad you give them a paddling. Mr. Ryan, let me see, I left my key and pocketbook in that car.
Yeah, you ought to get that out.
I better, because I got 15 cents in there. Mr. Miles called the other day. He said, these young people, Bessie, he said, they just got to get around. I said, well, they have more energy than we have.
That's the truth.
See, their fun is different. Can't find his sweater. That's like Tom. Miss Miles, he had trouble with his eye. He thought it was a boil on his eyelid. You know, he had to go, he went on to the VA today. He had another boil to come under the right arm. He had four one time under the left arm. And in 2 weeks he had another one to come back. I said, well, there's something causing it. I said, some impurity somewhere.
Yeah.
And I said, you should go to the doctor. And after the other one came to her head, he just didn't bother. So the other day he said, you know, I think I'm getting another one of them devilish things on the arm. I said, oh no. I said, the same arm? He said, no, under the other one. I said, well, you better go see about yourself. You found it, huh?
It was right in there where I've been looking.
Go ahead, ask Tom the second.
All I had to do was walk around the house 2 or 3 times and come back and find it.
So, when he showed it to me yesterday morning, I said, oh, my land. I said, that's the worst looking thing I'd ever seen. So, he went. I said, well, you go early. So, you know, they'll take it. I said, but if you mess around and wait too late and so many people get ahead of you, then maybe they wouldn't take it. So he left home at 7:30. He said, I want to be there by 8:10.
Yeah.
I said, that means you're going to leave here at 7:30. Well, I parked in the driveway last night, see. I don't usually go in that yard. Lloyd was supposed to put the floodlight out there for me. I have a light I want put on the corner of the house that I can turn it on and I can see all on that side. We have one right over the kitchen though, but it doesn't give the light over on the west east side of the house.
Why'd you get a hold of that cover for your
car? I ordered it from Sears.
Well, that's heavy as a tarpaulin.
Boy, that's the tarpaulin. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
That's that heavy kind, that real heavy. I could have gotten a plastic, but it doesn't hold.
Oh, no, you're wrong.
Because Tom ordered a plastic one once. And after, I don't know, he never did use it. So and after I got this car, we had the Ford, and I was still crazy about old Betsy. I hated to leave, get rid of that car. That was the first one. And I said, this thing here, the wind won't even let it stay down. I said, you got to put rocks and boards and whatnot up on it. So I went to Sears. I told Tom to measure it. And he just measured it a little too long and too wide, but it doesn't hurt. I mean, it go all the way down. And so
and then you got some rings on
the rings that you can put ropes in there.
You can rope it down
mm-hmm.
if you want to. Well, now, how often do you use that?
I use it when it gets cold. Here last year, when I woke up one morning, it looked like I wasn't going to ever get to work because I had to scrape the frost off the windshield and off the back. And it was thick. I said, boy, I might as well be up in my marinade. So I said, tonight, I said, I'm not going in the yard. I'm going to park in the driveway. And I put the cover over. And I tell her, I said, Tom, come help me put the cover on. Oh, Betsy, just a minute. So I said, oh, the devil. I said, go ahead and sit there. So we're eating one thing. He's gotten it out the trunk. But when fold it long ways. So when I put it on the trunk and I just started unrolling it and put it up on the top and unroll it, and this it goes right on down over the hood. Because he said, I'm short of patience. I said, I'm not short of patience. I say, when I got something to do, I just like to go ahead and do it.
I tell you, that's nice. You know what I'd do if I had one? I would use it even under that shed out there because in cold weather,
it protects your motor.
Yes, and the grease don't get as hard.
Mm-mm. And now when I took it off, course, it was so cold that morning, till after I got the cover off, it was freezing up right up, but it wasn't as bad, see?
Yeah.
I said, well, I got it. I said, I paid for it. I'm going to use it. I was going to have it washed and waxed and all, and then, you know, at night started covering it.
How long you had that cover?
Let me see, I had the car a year. Over a year, I had the car a year in May. I had it, I'm going to say that about a year.
You've got it for this car?
Mm-hmm. Just about a year. I had it over a year.
I never saw one that was that heavy.
Oh, they were supposed to send me a catalog, but they never did. I even had a card from them saying if that wasn't the right address to let them know, you know. But if it was right, don't bother about answering. So I didn't answer because the post office box 207 was right. McIntosh, Florida. So I said, well, maybe somebody else got it. I don't know.
Tom don't have one like that, does he?
No, he keeps his car in the garage.
Oh, I see.
So he keep that, he keep it in the garage.
And that keeps it, that's,
And you see, when it's raining, that protects the motor too, that water from going in there. As I said, I was going to start the covering it at night because you can never tell when a rain come up at night. You're going to get a rainstorm.
You know, the change in temperature makes it sweat and form moisture. And they tell me it forms inside the motor too. And that's the thing that you need to watch. And that's... if you had some way, you see, of sort of regulating the heat, the temperature, so it wouldn't go up and down so much, then you wouldn't have all that rust taking place. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing I can do about it, see, my old vehicles, just all they got is that shed, you know, just a roof over.
Mm-hmm.
Wind can blow. And
well, you know what we used to do with the Ford? I used to cover that Ford up. I used to have an old blanket and put over the motor.
You all just kindled the boil.
Yeah,
sure. Put an old blanket, an old rug or something, you know, that to hold the heat.
Yes.
You see, the motor would stay hot.
Yeah.
You know, warm a long time.
Oh, yes, if you have a little something to hold it.
Mm-hmm. You must be drinking iced coffee.
Oh, is that old stuff I had for breakfast?
Oh, my lands, all this time?
Oh, just 11, 9, then I
just... Well, from the way you sipping on it, you've been sipping on it ever since I've been here.
You know, I thought many a time, you see, if you had just something that you could nose your car under there with just a little bit of heat,
mm-hmm.
in it, it's all you need. You don't need to keep the rear end hot. It's just,
no, it's the front.
It's
the
front
motor.
That front car. And it ought to be very simple.
Cool. I said, well, you know that you can buy those... what do you call them? Portable garages. You know? So just like a carport, and you put it up.
Yeah.
So I said, gee, if I got one of those, they cost $100 and some. I said, I'd take that cover, you know, and hang around.
Mm-hmm.
Put it around the side as to keep the wind out from under it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think it's putting $100 and something.
He got that all folded up there in the trunk of this car, Faith. And it's a good, heavy, nice, I never saw anything like it.
A car?
It's a tarpaulin car cover, you know.
Well,
you use it for boats. You know, any outdoor thing you show, you know, in the catalog where they cover boats and outdoor furniture, you can, you know, stack it all together and cover it over.
Yeah, you know, you use the best thing
for it. It's heavy.
It's heavy.
Boy, you it's a good exercise when you get through
you
handling
know
it.
You when you get it up there, don't you?
Yeah.
And you put it on your car.
Yeah. Now it's getting cold, I'll put on. See, I was, one while I was keeping it on during the summer, but I'd go out and, you know, raise it up so it wouldn't sweat and take the paint off, you know. Then I said, oh, then I get on one side of the car and I throw that side over in the middle, and then I throw it over again. Then I go around on the other side and throw that side over, and fold it over again. Then I go to the back, and then I start to fold it, you know, pulling it to me.
Well, you've got a system.
Yeah. That's the way I pull it down. I pull it to me. And when I get it done, I just open the trunk and put it in there.
Yeah.
Well, I thought maybe Debbie would come out and stay tonight, and we'd get to visit a little bit. But looks like they live a charmed life, eh?
Well, I thought she was too.
That path just don't cross.
I thought she was, my understanding last night was she was going to come with me. Well, she said she's going to be here the first thing in the morning. So I didn't ask her anything else.
That
but that would have been something. I bet if she'd known you were here, she would have
come. She would have come, but she hadn't known I was here.
Yeah, she sure would.
But she said she wanted Sonny's address.
Because the thing about it is she figured she'd just come out here and go to sleep. Get here in time.
She's such a sweet disposition girl.
Yeah.
What, you going to what?
But she don't miss anything that goes on. She can hear anything you say.
Now, if you don't want me to hear what you say, don't whisper. If you whisper, I hear you quicker than if you talk out loud.
That's right.
And I tell them all the time, I say, don't whisper if you don't want me to know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, you don't have to tell them anything twice. She knows what you mean.
The other day, I don't know, I was in the kitchen and I said, oh, Miss Dawes, would you pray tell me what I came over here for? She said, Bessie, I don't know. I said, well, I don't either. And I never did remember what I went over there towards the sink for. And it's a rule, when I think of something, I go back where I started from, and then it'll come to me.
Yeah, but I've done that many a time.
The other night, I was ironing, last Tuesday night, I think it was. Tom said, Bessie, where's the I cup? I said, ask yourself. Because she was the last one to use it. I said, every time I get ready to wash my eyes out, I said, you'd have it full of eye water. And I said, I had said I was going to buy me one that I, you know, when I get ready to wash my eyes, I'll have it. Well, the last time I used it, I put it right here. I said, right where you put it, it's there now. It is not, because I put it right here on this counter. I said, well, it's got to be there. I said, well, you know, I gave away my hand, and I had two Pyrex dishes in my hand one day. You know, I was putting, what did I make? I made something in one of the Pyrex dishes, so I was putting it away, putting the Pyrex dish, and I had taken one out and put in it. I was trying to put the big ones to the bottom. And just as I took out the third one to put in there, I hit those two pie plates and broke both of them. Hit it, you know, with the third plate. I said, oh, I should have known. I shouldn't even tried to put it away. And I got the glass up. Well, and I went on to sit down. I didn't try to do anything then for quite a while, so, you know, I just got my nerves back and get it together. And then I went in and I washed the dishes. But Tuesday, he was just, and I said, you didn't put it in that nightstand next to the bed? No, what I'm doing putting it in there? I said, you could put it anywhere. So I got up, I was sitting down ironing. And I got up, I went in the bathroom, and I looked in the cabinet. It wasn't there. I went in his room, and I looked up on the chest. It wasn't there. I looked down under that nightstand, and it wasn't there. I said, now, he said the last place he had it was in the kitchen. And the minute I walked in and walked in the corner where he said he had it, I said, Tom, he said, yeah. I said, what is this over here? Where? Then I went to pulling the bottles out. I said, what is this sitting here? Well, you know, I pulled all of those things out, and I didn't see it. I said, I told you just where you put it, it was there. And then he turned around and asked me, Bessie, where is it? I said, don't ask me. I said, all I can do is keep up with Bessie's thing.
Tom said he'd been out in the yard. That's when he
that's, that's where he was.
Yeah,
he oh, he's always messing around out there. Sometime I call him and I said, I don't know, ever know when you're home. I said, if I call, you don't, I don't get no answer. I said, now, this again, I said, you're going to town. I started to tell him I was going to call him around 11 o'clock this morning. Because I asked him, I said, do you want me to go in with you? I said, that they might want to keep you and run some tests or something. No, Bessie, I don't need you to go with me. I said, okay. I said, you don't know what they're going to do. And I said, if they cut that thing, you're going to wish that had been with you. I said, in driving. No, I'd be all right. I said, okay. So I called around 11 and no answer. I said, well, he didn't come back. I said, I wonder if they're keeping him. And I said, well, if he isn't home. I had told him the other day. I said, I'm going up to Miss Miles. I said, Monday. I said, Mr. Miles told me he had a couple of burlap bags and I could get a few. And he said, bags? I said, yeah, bags.
When he picked up them little cedar trees up there, he didn't wrap them up a car or anything, did he?
No.
He just put them in the car and took them home. Stuck them out. He said all of them lived but two.
No, I declare they wouldn't do that for anybody else.
No, that's pretty good.
You know, he used to laugh at me, and I put some orange seeds in a can and had them sitting on the windowsill in New York. And those seeds come up. And we brought them down here. And he said, Bessie, he said, you know this thing's not going to come up. I said, you don't know that. I said, you can try anything once. I said, I'm a great believer in trying. If it fail. So, he was surprised. So he said, I don't have a hand for growing anything. Now, for plants, now the ligustrum, I can't get him to take the clippers and go out there and trim. He'll cut off one or two and go stick it out and leave the others. Because
yeah.
I'm going to get up one morning and go out there and cut them.
Oh, I do like that ligustrum.
Oh boy. Now he has some in the back. I guess they're about that high. Where he just cut them off from the front, the top, and stuck them out.
Yeah.
Everything he's been planting around since he's been on it has been, you know, just been growing. But I want him to move. Now that big cedar tree, we had three of those. Leslie gave them to us. And that was before we built. And we had them sitting in the back. And the same year we came down, it had that bad storm. And Nettie was worried because she thought we was going to run into it. She knew we were on our way. But we didn't run into the first drop of water. as they say, it took the water course. And that water was standing, and two of them got drowned. Two of them drowned, and the other one lived. And the apple tree, his cousin gave us in Gainesville, and I was surprised that apples grew down here. But that tree, it needs working bad. I think the apples would be larger. They taste very much like Macintosh apples. They're small, but they're so sweet. And he moved the cedar and put it on the front. Well, I had bought them two evergreens. I bought one. I went to Winn-Dixie one day. I put the kids in the car. I was working in Gainesville then. Put the kids in the car. I have great hands for throwing kids in the car going somewhere. And that was all they want, getting the basket, because I'd buy them animal crackers or something. And I said, oh, boy. I said, I'm going to get this tree. I said, I'd like to have two. I said, but I can't spend all my money. I have to have something good. I said, I might get a flat tire or something, and I got to have some change. I bet on that. And I brought the tree home, and he went right out and dug a hole and planted it. And the guy across the street said, Bessie, if you miss that tree, say, you know it's over here in my yard. I said, you give me your money, I'll bring you one tomorrow. And so Tom gave me the money to get the other one. So, but now, you see, there's three, going to be three big trees right together. That Portocarpus and the evergreen and that cedar. So you see, that's too many big trees. You know, those Portocarpus, those big.
Yes, I know what you're, I didn't know the name of it.
Yeah, and they makes a beautiful hedge, too.
Yeah,
they do.
They make
well,
a beautiful
hedge.
Could
make a hedge, or make a shade tree, or...
Yeah, and now, that ligustrum, it's getting too high. You can't hardly...
You know what? I put these out here in front. I put these pine trees and things out there. And what I did was, I wanted to make
coffee.
Would you drink coffee tonight or not?
No.
You don't drink coffee at night?
At all.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Just
what would you have? Would you have a glass of milk?
No, ma'am. Just water.
Just
thank
water.
But boy, this is more than I eat.
No, it's not.
Miss Miles.
This little lump.
And that's what
you
my
know,
love
we,
is, baked potato. But
you know, we haven't had any pork chops for 5 months. And I don't think these two.
You know, I thought it was ham.
Well, I've got ham in there. But, these
but I meant it smelled just like ham cooking.
These, I think I love them cooking a little too long.
No.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be well cooked.
Well, let's have a bite.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to wait for Miss My House.
Again, stand on the ceremony.
Yeah.
I bet you one thing.
Because she's going to wash dishes.
I bet you Bessie knows a blessing. I'm going to get some. Let's have a blessing, and I'll get you some water.
Oh, don't worry. I won't drink it. No,
yeah.
Right. No, no, no.
You want to have a blessing?
You want me to say? Father, we thank thee for this food that we're about to receive for the nourishment of the bodies. Father, bless the hands that fixed it. I ask you, Jesus, to bless this home and each and every one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We just need Bessie up here every night.
I have gotten to the place I got Tom. I don't know if he still say it now because he never eats when I eat.
He don't eat when you eat.
Mm-mm. Okay. He'll lay down. Now, when I got home from church last night, he still hadn't eaten his supper.
And you got home from church. What a man.
Thank you. I went home yesterday and I cooked. I had two little steaks. So I asked him, he's so funny, I said, are you going to stay? I guess I will. Just tell me, because I don't have to slow both of them out. So I fixed the steaks and I fixed some okra. Isaiah had been down to Nettie's and he told Leslie to give me, he left some okra with Leslie for me.
Mm-hmm.
So Leslie brought it to Sunday school. And I said, oh boy. And I went home. I washed it. And the big parts I cut up and cooked it.
Mm-hmm.
The little small ones I put in the box so I could steam it, you know, little
uh-huh.
small parts. And I eat them. I ate my dinner. Oh, started eating around 4:20 after bell. I ate 9.5 times to digest. So when I go home, I say I'll have a glass of orange juice
mm-hmm.
for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I intend to eat a piece of cake. Everly made a. So we had a program down the church Thursday night. All the choirs didn't show up, just two of them. So we sang, but it was very good. We raised $54.56.
Mm.
So the union to be to our church next month.
Do you?
You know, like you went
uh-huh,
to before.
Uh-huh.
What do you all spend money on, Jesse?
Well, we want chairs for the choir now.
Yeah.
So the choirs, you know, well, when the union, we're going to just save the. This money will go on our choir union. We don't have very many members.
No.
And we try to, you know, raise money some way. So now I put out gleaners for something we had once. And everybody didn't turn their gleaners in. So I won't give anybody else another gleaner.
Now, what's that, Desi?
You know, you get those gleaners from the bank.
Oh.
No, I don't know.
10 cent ones, 25 cent ones. So I gave everybody a 25 cent one. I filled mine up when I went to West Palm Beach. I didn't ask anybody around this end for anything. I stood in church, and in a half hour, I had $5.
Oh, in Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Those things you fill up.
Yeah, you fill them up. You put, it's a slot there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
For you to put 25 cents, or
uh-huh.
you can get the 10 cent ones.
Uh-huh.
And some of the girls never reported.
So now I
had three or four. I had three over. Because you see, I save quarters. In fact, I have pennies and everything. So I have $10 and I have $12.50 in quarters. I put it in the gleaners.
But they don't all like to part with their money.
They beg for it, but still, they're begging in the name of the church, but they're not turning it over to the church.
Oh.
That's what I mean.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, oh, and so. If we had this little thing. So I made a cake. I made a pound cake. Oh, it was delicious. I had to pat my own self on the back.
Oh, that carrot cake was certainly good. We got that beautiful plate in there all this time. And we think, well, when we go to Bess's, we'll just make a visit.
Yeah.
Okay. Saturday, I didn't go out the yard. I stayed home all day. I think I got so nervous. The children upset me Friday. Mm-hmm.
You let children upset you?
Oh boy, they was like the devil. I told you I got a palm from and Tan, Dina, and Eric good.
that's the thing to use because
I told her. I told her. I said, she said, Bessie, I heard all about it. She said, Jenna told me how Eric and Dina carried on. I said, and they were screaming just like somebody was murdering them. I said, but first, see, they have a shag rug, and we use a shag rug because it's vacuumed. I don't know what's something wrong with it. It's broken. And I said, well, I'll do over here by the TV so the kids can come in and watch Sesame Street. And I'd missed them. I mean, you know, they got quiet. And I had the door open. And I was just raking away. So I called. Eric didn't answer. Called Dina. She didn't answer. Well, Krista, 2 years old, quite naturally, she goes, oh, excuse me. She's going to follow them, you know, the baby. And there's so many snakes down there.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yes.
Well, you feel at home.
No, I don't. And the kids say was one right in the driveway almost up to the house when they was coming home from school this afternoon. I said, what kind was it? She said, Bessie, I don't know, but it was green. I think it was a grass snake. I said, as long as he don't crawl up under somewhere in that car and hide and crawl out, and I'm driving.
So they really got on a tear.
So, see, they wanted to play outside, and I let the kids play. Let them play outside. It was lovely Saturday. Mm-hmm. I said, well, they can play. But boy, when I started to call, and you see, Eric got lost down there once. And I thought, sure, I was going to have a heart attack. Because with all of them rattlesnakes and moccasins, and I mean, going to bed down there. And it's quiet now, but see, when Mr. Merce was there, you know, he kept it all clean. That airport stayed clean.
Uh-huh.
And he cleaned, the grove and everything. But now, whoever bought it, they don't do nothing.
It just grows up?
It has grown up. Except the other night I was coming out and I saw a big possum have. I kept after her until she put a light in her yard. I said, you know, this is too forsaken down here. Now you put a light in here.
Mm-hmm.
I said, just you and these five kids down here at night by yourself.
They're way off there by themselves, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They are.
And there come a great big fat possum walking across under the light. Great big fella. I came out and said, Thomas, a big possum went long under the light out there tonight in the yard. He said, why didn't you catch him? I said, because I didn't want him. I said, and he wasn't going to bite me. So, somebody in Gainesville always telling him, oh, Madison, if you see a possum, bring him to me. And they said, turtles. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, I'm not thinking. I said, they don't think of me. I said, when they get something, they don't say, well, take this to Bessie.
I used to think a possum was just a slow sort of creature.
Mm-hmm.
They can really move.
But you're very shy.
Mm-hmm. Possum.
You know, when you shine a light on them, they're just draw
mm-hmm.
right up.
Uh-huh.
But old coon will fight this thing. I said, that ain't nothing but a dog. A coon.
Uh-huh.
And I don't like possums because they eat anything.
They bust.
They do.
Yeah, and they thrive.
They go in the cemetery, and you know, they dig around the graves and anything that's dead.
I didn't know that about.